last class I'm going to have for about 2 weeks. I'm going to be in the States, and I haven't perfected in being two places at the same time yet, so I'm not going to be here. So I don't want to start a new topic and then continue it in 2 weeks. So I thought we'd speak about Tu B'Shvat from a very different perspective, I think, than you have heard or will hear anywhere else. I saw that the Kedusha Slevi and the Bnei Yisoskar both say the same idea, and I'm going to add to it tremendously and enhance it with a lot of extras. They say that there's an argument in the Gemara when the world was created. One opinion says in Nisan, and the other one says in Tishrei. According to both of them, the world wasn't actually created in Nisan or Tishrei, but man was created on the beginning of Tishrei or the beginning of Nisan. That means the world was created 6 days earlier on Chaf Hei Elul or Chaf Hei Adar. That's the date of the creation of the world. We know that 40 days before a person is conceived, they already start preparing for that person in Shemayim, who he's going to marry, what fields he's going to have, whatever. So too they say that 40 days before the creation of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already started to prepare for that creation. 40 days before Chaf Hei Elul is Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av. And 40 days before Chaf Hei Adar is Tu B'Shvat. So there's a connection between Tu B'Av and Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Av is the preparation for the creation of Tishrei, and Tu B'Shvat is the preparation for the creation of Nisan. Ad Kan. Now let me enhance that a lot. First of all, Tosa says that Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim, the world was created twice. It was created b'machshava in Tishrei and l'maisa in Nisan. Now the way I understand that is not that God created the world twice, once in his mind and once in action. What it means is the following, I think. It's just a chazal that you're all familiar with, just said in different ways. The chazal say, b'tchilo ola b'machshava lehiboros b'midas hadin v'shitei fimo rachamim. Originally, the Rabban Shalom's intention was to create the world just b'midas hadin, and then he added rachamim. The Shaloh HaKodesh says that doesn't mean that God changed his mind, but it means that the Rabban Shalom created the world b'machshava in din. In other words, ideally the world should exist only with din, because the whole purpose of this world is that you should earn your Olam Haba. If you get rachamim, you get help, you're not earning it. You could have been given it for free. So whatever help you get is really detrimental, because then you're not earning it on your own. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that if people would lose it completely, better to get some help and earn it partially than not get anything. So for people who need it, l'maisa, there's rachamim. But ideally, b'machshava, there's din. And therefore, people who can live in that world, that dimension of din, that's what they get. Yaakov Avinu was like that. Rabbi Akiva was like that, says the Shalom. And people like us who need rachamim, so we live in the world, l'maisa, there's rachamim. So what it means is that the world was created b'machshava, and b'maisa doesn't mean in two different times. It means that when the world was created, there was no time. So there were two dimensions. One was called the dimension of Tishrei, that's din. And the other one was called the dimension of Nisan, that's rachamim. And they were at the same time. Just one was one dimension, the other dimension, both exist, and whoever fits into whichever one, that's the one they get. When time was created, these two dimensions shifted into two different time zones. The Rosh Hashanah of Din is Tishrei, and the Rosh Hashanah of Rachamim is Nisan. Okay, next. There's another connection. So Tu B'Av prepares for the Rosh Hashanah of Din, and Tu B'Shvat prepares for the Rosh Hashanah of Rachamim. There's something else that Tu B'Shvat and Tu B'Av have in common. According to one opinion in the Gemara, the reason we celebrate Tu B'Av is because that's the day they made the siyum for cutting wood for the Mizbeach. They didn't cut wood after that point, because then the sun wasn't so strong, the summer already was going away, and worms could come in the wood, and wormy wood was possible for the Mizbeach. So the last day they cut wood for the Mizbeach and they made a siyum was on Tu B'Av. So Tu B'Av has to do with trees, cutting down dry trees for firewood. And Tu B'Shvat obviously is Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos. It's a Rosh Hashanah for trees, only the opposite. Trees that bring fruit, and the reason Tu B'Shvat is because that's when the sap, the water, goes into the tree and brings out the fruit. So here we have trees with fruit, with sap, alive, and here we have cutting down trees to burn the wood. Tu B'Av has to do with trees, dead trees, firewood. Tu B'Shvat has to do with trees, with fruit, and so on. Now what is the idea? So there are two names for trees. One applies, like we said, Eitzim, to Tu B'Av, and the other one is Ilanot. That applies to Tu B'Shvat. Let's first discuss an Eitz. The word Eitz, okay, the Torah says, Ha'adam Eitz Hasad. We are like trees. Says the Maral, how are we like trees? So he says, we really have the same configuration of a tree. We have branches, we have a root, we have a bark, our bodies are the bark, our limbs are the branches, limbs of a tree, and we have our roots, our head. There's only one difference between us and a tree. What is that? We're upside down. We're an upside down tree. You'd look more like a tree if you stood on your head and stretched out your legs and your arms. Right? Then your root would be down, and your body is your trunk, and your limbs go out, you look like a tree. Says the Maral, we're not upside down. We're just rooted in a different place. We're rooted in Shamayim. We're, a main thing of us is our ruchnis. So our root, which is our hair, right, which is our head, which is the root, with all the root hairs around it, right, is rooted in the heavens. And we happen to be growing down from Shamayim. So we're really right side up, except you have to look backwards because our root is where we belong. And the only reason that we're upside down in a physical world because we're not rooted in the physical world. It would follow from this that if we'd be in a spiritual world, we would be on our heads. Then we'd be like a regular tree. Our root would be down and our limbs would be up. And I found a medrash that says that, and a few other things that we can explain with this idea. There was a medrash that says this openly. The medrash says like this. It's a medrash in Paneach Raza. It's a sefer of a likud of medrashim made by the Balei HaTosfos. In Parshas Chayisara, it says that when Rivka was on the camel, and she saw Yitzchak Avinu, her chosson, for the first time, she fell off the camel. What was so traumatic, says the medrash, that she fell off the camel? Says that by the Akedah, Yitzchak Avinu died. Literally died. His neshama left him when the knife hit his throat, before the Malach said stop, and his neshama left him. And he had Tchias HaMeisim. And because he died and came back to life, he needed to be rehabilitated. So he went to Gan Eden for 2 years. And he was in Gan Eden for 2 years rehabilitating. The moment he came out of Gan Eden is the moment that Rivka saw him. That's when he was coming out of Gan Eden after his rehabilitation. And the Medrash says, Uki Yadua, and is well known, the people in Gan Eden walk on their heads. And Yitzchak was still walking on his head when Rivka saw him. So she was a little astounded that her chosson walks on his head. Somebody told me, Adarabba, that's why she fell off the camel. She wanted to get on her head also. She's a good camel. So that medrash says beferish that in olam haruchni people walk on their heads. Don't get scared if you can't walk on your head. Neither can I. But in the olam haruchni, there's no up and down. It's all spiritual. It just means figuratively that the head is down. That's the root. In Hasidus, there's an idea of regular mala, making somersaults or whatever, to show that your leg is up and your head is down. It's a spiritual posture. When your head is down, the root is down, and that's where the way you're really supposed to be. Where else do we find this idea? Whenever we want to assume a spiritual posture to show that we're ruchni, so we make it clear that our head is not the limb, but our head is the root, even though it's up, because we're rooted up in Shamayim. And our legs, even though they're what we're standing on, they're not our root, they're only the limb. The ikar of a tree is the root. If you cut off the limbs, the tree can still live. If you cut off the root, forget it. So what do we do to show that? We don't get on our heads. That would be very uncomfortable. So what do? We cover our heads and we uncover our feet. Because the limbs of a tree are uncovered. The root is covered. It's in the ground or it's in a pot. But the limbs, you don't cover the limbs, unless the tree is sick or sometimes they have these sacks on the branches. But normally the branches are uncovered and the root is covered. So on Yom Kippur, we cover our head, we take off our shoes. We want to assume a spiritual posture to make it clear that this is the root and that's the limb. An Avel, who wants to get closer to the neshama of the nifter, covers his head. Itu Farosh, he has to cover his head and uncover his feet, take off his shoes. When you go in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to take off your shoes. Whenever you want to have a spiritual posture, you cover your head as the root, and you uncover your feet to show that they're only the limb. In any case, that explains, I think, the following remez. The word Eitz is spelled with two letters, Ayin, Sad. If you vocalize those letters, what do they mean? In the words, Ayin means either an eye, or it can also mean to look. Ayin, if you use it as a verb. Look, Ayin. Tzadi, even though the letter is Tzadi, Tzadik Dalet Yud, but the Gemara says it stands for a Tzadik. So the letters of the word Eis are Ayin, Tzadik. Look, and you'll see a Tzadik. Now how in the world can you look and see a Tzadik if you look at a tree? And it's interesting, I'm not an artist, there's nothing to write with, so I'm not going to be an artist either. The letters Ayin and Tzadik, the way they're written in the Torah, look like trees. They have two branches, the Ayin and the Tzadik, and a root going down, and little hairs coming up, little tagim, crowns on the letters. They mamish look like a tree, Ayin and Tzadik. So look at the tree and you'll see a Tzadik. Now how did looking at a tree see a tzaddik? What we just said. If you look at a tree, you'll see what its root is and what its limbs are. The root is the ikar, and the limbs are the tuffel. Now look at a human being. What do you see? His root is up here, and his limbs are down there. That means that we're rooted in the spiritual world, and we're only standing on our legs because we're in a physical world. If we'd be in a spiritual world, we thought it would be on our head. So that's, if you look at a tree and you look at a person and see how the person looks like a tree, only inverted, you'll know what a tzaddik is. A tzaddik is a person whose root is in Shamayim and whose limbs are in this world. The ikar is ruchnias and the tuffel is gashmias. That's ayin tzaddik. So a person in his configuration looks like a tree. The outside of the tree, the wood part of the tree. Right, the form of the tree, the substance of the tree, basically, with the wood. That's what we do on Tu B'Av. In order to prepare for the Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei, which is Din, Yom HaDin, Tishrei, and that's why the month is called Tishrei, because whenever you have a backwards aleph base, Tav Shin Reish, that's backwards, it signifies Din. Whenever you have the aleph base in order, it signifies Rachamim. What is the month of Nisan? Aviv, Chodesh Aviv, Aleph Beis. And Tishrei is Tav Shin Reish. This is Rachamim. The main yontif in Tishrei and in Nisan is Pesach. Pesach means Asher Pesach, the Targum says, Chos, Rachamim. So that is the Rosh Hashanah of Rachamim is Nisan. But the Rosh Hashanah of Din is Tishrei, Yom HaDin. In order to prepare for Din, nobody can really be zoche badin on their own merit. We're human beings, we're not perfect. How do you zoche badin? You give yourself over to the Rabbanu Shalom totally and say, Rabbanu Shalom, I negate myself and you take over. I totally trust you, I'm totally negated to you. So what do? To prepare for the Yom HaDin, we cut up trees which represent people and we burn them on the Mizbeach. That's fire. We're mevatel ourselves to kibiyachol the Rabbanu Shel Olam on the Mizbeach, like wood, like trees. And that's how we prepare for the Yom HaDin, by totally subjugating ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is Tu B'Av, has to do with trees, fire burning the trees on the Mizbeach. And the tree meaning the substance of the tree, the wood, the configuration, how a tree looks, branches and roots. Tu Bishvat is just the opposite. Tu Bishvat doesn't have to do with fire, it has to do with water. The water that makes the fruit grow. Why is Tu Bishvat the Rosh Hashanah of Ilanos? Rosh Hashanah meaning that any halacha that depends on a year, like Maaser, there's 2 years of Maaser Sheni and 1 year of Maaser Ani. How do you know if this tree is Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani? It depends when it blossomed. If it blossomed before Tu Bishvat of Tafshinayin Gimel, then it has to do with, then it's, the fruit is Tafshinayin Beis. Because the rainfall of Tafshinayin Beis is what made this fruit blossom before Tu Bishvat. But any fruit that blossomed after Tu Bishvat, the rainfall of Tafshinayin Gimel, is what was significant. It already is growing from this year's rainfall. So Tu Bishvat has to do with rain, with water. It has to do with Ilanos. Ilanos means fruit-bearing trees. And even those there are Ilanos Srak, Ilanos that don't bear fruit, the Gemara says that Lasid Lavo, every Ilan Srak will bear fruit. So they're potentially fruit-bearing trees. So Ilan has to do with the fruit of the tree. H has to do with the configuration of the tree. And even a dead tree is called an H. Even wood, lumber, is called Hing. So Tu Be'av has to do with the chomer, the material, the configuration of the tree that looks like a person. And you look at it and you see the tzaddik and you break it apart and put it on the Mizbeach, and that's the preparation for the din, fire, the preparation for din. The way to prepare for rachamim, rachamim means that you don't subjugate yourself, you don't negate yourself totally to Hashem, but you're dynamic. Hashem wants you to have function. He helps you. He wants you to bring out your fruit. So he helps you with his rachamim, which is, water is a symbol of chesed, of rachamim. And Torah is rachamim, rachmana, the Torah is rachamim, Torah is chesed. So the Torah helps you to be productive, to bring out your fruit. So therefore, the idea of an Elon, okay, and follow me here, this hit me one day when I was driving, very interesting idea, I think. Take the word Elon, take away the Aleph, put it in your pocket. Okay, so now we're left with three letters. What are they? Yud, Lamed, Nun. Add them together numerically. Yud is 10, Lamed is 30, and Nun is 50. How much does that equal? 90. What letter in the Aleph base is 90? Tzadik. Now, put the Tzadik back with the Aleph, and what do you get? Eitz, but with an Aleph. So Elon is really an Eitz with an Aleph. Just you have the Yud, Lamed, Nun equals the Tzadik, put it together with the Aleph, and you have Aleph Tzadik, which is Eitz. Now that also means something. Ayin Tzadik means look, and you'll see a Tzadik. Look at the tree, the way it's configured, and you'll see a Tzadik. Aleph Tzadik means learn. The word Aleph means to learn. Aleph Bina. In Aramaic, Yolif means to learn. So Aleph means to learn. The Aleph Tzadik means learn about the tree, and you'll see what a Tzadik is. Don't look at it, but learn the concept of what the fruit, we're talking now about fruit trees, the concept of fruit will tell you what a tzaddik is. What does that mean? The Meiri says that Olam Haba is not a separate world, but it is the fruit of this world. It's the pre of Olam Hazeh, meaning the following. In this world, you put in the effort, you plant, you plow, you fertilize, you plant the seeds, and you reap the fruit in the world to come. So the world to come is not a separate world. What you put in effort in this world, that's what you benefit, the fruit, in the next world. Not two separate worlds. This is the place to do, that's the place to get the schar. And the schar grows from what you do in this world. So it's like fruit. There's basically two philosophies of life in this world. We spoke about this, I think, at some point, so I'm not going to go into great detail, but just simple. There's a medrash that says the following. Avram Avinu, before Lech Lecha, came to Eretz Yisrael on his own, because he was making a pilot trip around the world, looking for a place that if HaKadosh Baruch would give him children, he would want to raise his children. So he went to Aram Naraim in Chutz Laaretz, and he saw a bunch of Ovdei Avodah Zorah eating, drinking, and partying, and he said, Rabbanu Shalom, this is not the place I want to bring up my children. He came to Eretz Yisrael, and he saw a bunch of old Avodah Zarah planting, plowing, and harvesting. He said, this is the place I want. On the surface, what's the big deal between a bunch of goyim planting, plowing, and harvesting, or a bunch of goyim eating and drinking? Now, what Avraham Avinu saw is that the atmosphere in Eretz Yisrael is conducive to a philosophy of putting in work now for the future. Not immediate gratification. It's not easy to plant and plow. You don't get any benefit from it. When do you get the benefit? Later, when the fruit comes on the tree. That's like Olam Hazen, Olam Haba. That's Yaakov Avinu's philosophy. Put in effort now for a future benefit. Yaakov was a shepherd. A shepherd raises a sheep when it's young in order to get benefit from it later. The wool, the milk, whatever. Esav was a hunter. Esav means osri, finished. Yaakov means akev, the end. What's going to be later? Not right now. Right now I put in the work. Later I get the benefit. Esav is osri. What was he? A hunter. Wants to go in the forest, kill the animal, eat it right away. Doesn't want to raise it, doesn't want to put any work into it. Just go, kill it, and eat it. So the philosophy of Esav is immediate gratification. Eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy yourself now. The philosophy of Yaakov, of the Torah, is put in work now, the benefit will come later in Olam Haba. Avraham Avinu saw that in Eretz Yisrael it was conducive to the second philosophy. People are planting, plowing, they're not looking for pleasure right now. They're waiting for later. So their later is when the fruit comes on the tree. But my children, the later will be Olam Haba. So this is a country where the atmosphere is conducive to the philosophy of fruit. That's the philosophy of fruit. And Chutz La'aretz is conducive to the philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry. I think I told you, I'll say it again. I once saw this so clearly. I was here in Eretz Yisrael, another trip to Chutz La'aretz years ago. And the night before I left, they had Shavua HaSefer, the book week in Eretz Yisrael. They used to have, what it used to be is, they used to, all the publishers of books, svarim, whatever, would bring the svarim, the latest things that they wanted to sell, or the ones they couldn't get rid of, and they made drastic sales, and everybody would come to a central place, it used to be in Gan HaPa'amon, and they'd have table upon table of books from all different publishers, with great sales. People would come out at night. It was like from 5 to 11 in the evening. And it was a night out with your family. They had cotton candy and rides for the children, and the adults would look at the svarim, whatever. And so I took my family out to the Shavua Sefer. We were walking around the tables looking at all these svarim. And then I went home, went to the airport, and next morning I was in New York. Get off the plane. The person who met me by the plane said, there's something special going on in Javits Convention Center. I have tickets for it. Would you like to accompany me? I said, what is going on that's so special? He said, they're having a kosher food fair. What is that? All the producers of kosher food bring their latest products, put them out on tables and booths, and you pay to go in, and you get to sample all these new kosher foods and see what they are or whatever. I said to myself, I just came from Eretz Yisrael, where everybody's walking around tables looking at svarim. Now you expect me to go to Javits Convention Center and walk around tables and look at food? Kosher food, nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with, perfectly okay. But that becomes the focus, something's wrong. That is the focus of Chutz La'aretz, kosher food. In Eretz Yisrael, it's svarim. So it's a different world. What are the values of whatever? What Eretz Yisrael is conducive to, and what Chutz La'aretz? You can fight against that in Chutz La'aretz and live a beautiful Torah life, and there's plenty of fine Torah kehilas in Chutz La'aretz. And you can fight against it in Eretz Yisrael and live a totally secular life. But here you have to fight against the environment, and there you have to, what's it called, fight to be to do the wrong thing, and there you have to fight against the environment to do the right thing. In any case, so that's the concept of fruit. If you'll study the fruit-giving qualities of the tree, the Elon, right, the Aleph Tzaddik, you'll know what a Tzaddik is. A Tzaddik is somebody who puts in work here for a future benefit, who's not looking for immediate gratification, eat, drink, and be merry. One more interesting thing about the word Elon. The Rabbanu Shalom, in order to drive home this lesson of fruit, that the Ikar is Olam Haba, and everything should be done in this world with Kedusha for the sake of more than just filling up your stomach. Kedusha means you designate something for a higher purpose. That's what Kedusha is. It's not just for the mundane secular purpose that you use. You don't eat just to fill your stomach. You eat in order to be strong, to have a goal of Kedusha, for the sake of Olam Haba. So your eating becomes a preparation for Olam Haba. That's what Kedusha is. In order to drive this home, the Torah gave us four kinds of mitzvahs with fruit. Trumas and maestras. The first one is truma. You take the first. Truma means you take the rachis. The first. Bikurim is also a mitzvah of rachis. And dedicate it to Hashem. So you set the pattern. By setting the first for Hashem, you set the pattern. That's the rachis. Then you take the tenth. Maisa Rishon. The tenth you dedicate to Hashem. The tenth is the goal. Because when you count by numbers, till nine, every number is separate. 10 unites all the numbers together into one unit of tens. The next number is Achadashre, 1 plus 10. It's not a new number, it's that you're building on that 10. In the Arabic decimal system, 10 is 1 10 and 0 ones. It's a unit of tens. So the number 10 represents the goal. When you get to the end, put it all together. That's 10. So we dedicate the beginning to Hashem and the goal to Hashem. And then hopefully everything in between will be Kodesh, we'll use it for Kedusha. So getting the right Hashkafa, that's the first thing. The first and the tenth. Then there's Maaseh Sheni. Maaseh Sheni you bring to Yerushalayim and eat it there. And the Torah says the reason for that is, Leman tilmad liyiras Hashem Elokecha. You should learn how to fear Hashem. How do you learn how to fear Hashem? By eating Maaseh in Yerushalayim. Because Tosfos says, in Yerushalayim were all the yeshivas, Kimitzion Teitzei Torah, all the seminaries, all the Kohanim, Leviim, mostly lived in Yerushalayim. So you go there and you see Talmidei Chachamim, you see Kohanim, you see Leviim, and you learn how to be a Yirei Shamayim. So first you need the right Hashkafa, dedicate the first and the tenth to Hashem. But then you have to know how to live at that. What are the details? So now you need to learn. That's Maaseh Sheni. And lastly is Maaseh Ani, right? That you can't just think about yourself, you have to be involved and do it for other people too. So those are the four kinds of mitzvahs. The Reishis, the Asiri, Limud of Maaseh Sheni, and Maaseh Ani. Do it, help other people too. If you would, yeah, hold on one second. If you would take letters to represent those four kinds of mitzvahs, what letter would you use to represent the Reishis, the beginning kind of mitzvah? Aleph. Good. What letter would you represent the Maaseh, the tenth? Yud. What letter would you represent Maaseh Sheni, which is Laman Tilmad, you should learn, Limud. Which letter? Lamed. Lamed is Limud. And which letter would you use for Maaseh Ani? Nun. Why? No. Why Nun? Nun is the central letter of Ani, and there's a reason for it. Because the Nun represents falling, a person who can't support himself. That's Nun. Nun is Nefila. And therefore the central letter in Ani, the central idea of an Ani is he can't support himself. He's false. And that's why Someh Hashem L'chol HaNoflim comes right after the Nun that's left out of Ashrei. So if I had to pick a letter to support other people who can't support themselves, I would pick the Nun, the Nofil, right? Which is the central letter of Ani. What does that spell? Iman. Aleph, Yud, Lamed, Nun are the four mitzvahs that go into the Aleph, Tzadik, the peros, the idea of the fruit, that if you learn about the fruit-giving quality. And that's the way you prepare for the Rosh Hashanah of Nisan. The Rosh Hashanah of Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah of Rachamim, where you're going to be productive and Hashem's going to help you. So you prepare by getting the water ready, for the water is Torah, and that's going to help you produce that fruit. So Tu B'Shvat, we deal with the water that goes into producing the fruit. And on Tu B'Av, we take the wood, break it up, and burn it on the Mizbeach in preparation for the Rosh Hashanah of Din. So that's the connection between Tu B'Shvat and Tu B'Av. Both of them have to do with trees, each one a little bit different. And the tree, Eitz, is Ayin Tzadik. Look at the tree, how it's configured, root and limbs, and you'll see what a Tzadik is. And Elon comes out to be Aleph Tzadik, if you put the Yud, Lamed, Nun together. Learn about the fruit, and you'll know what a tzaddik is, and then take the letters and you'll see what mitzvahs to do with that fruit. The Aleph, the Yud, the Lamed, and the Nun. Yes? If what?
There's also Truma's Master.
Trumas Meiser is what the Levi has to give from what he gives to the what the Yisrael gives to the Levi. He gives Meiser from that to the Kohen. So here, that's like Truma. That's his Truma. He doesn't take Truma from his thing, but he has to take Trumas Meiser from his Tavua, from the Meiser that they give him. So that's just like Truma.